98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
Los Angeles is more than our neighbor. They are our rival, even if we are not theirs. They are our big brother and the worst kind, vain and preening, and the kind that lives to abuse. However you define this relationship, this much is certain. It takes a new turn tonight in downtown Phoenix. Now, Suns head coach Monty Williams has already heard about the history between these two teams. His pregame comments are proof and included a hope that Suns fans will make the arena a special place for the home team and not just the visitors, and this will be the first litmus test. Now, in recent years, there were two types of Suns fans when the Lakers came to town. Those who sold their tickets and those who showed up to see LeBron. Tonight, that dynamic must change. The other litmus test takes place on the floor because the Suns are getting major hype and major love. Because Devin Booker is getting crazy, premature MVP consideration. Because a victory tonight against the Lakers will turn the Suns from a basketball team into an event. A national conversation piece and a local obsession, just like they used to be. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW. Chapman BMW has two great locations, one off the I-10 in Chandler, another off of Camelback Road in Phoenix. That's Chapman BMW, two great locations, one great experience. Visit them online at ChapmanBMW.com today.
I'm excited about tomorrow's shoot-around. You know, it's too many games to do that. You know, I don't get caught up in all that stuff. I got to manage emotions, and it's just not my style, and we certainly don't want our players to differentiate any game. You know, we want to do the three things we talked about: defend, share the ball, play hard. And if we do that, we have a chance to be successful. But you can't get caught up in that stuff.
Oh, it's on tonight, Talking Stick Resort Arena, Lakers Suns. This time it's personal.
What? I don't know. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. No, I am too. And I think a lot of people are. I got an email, somebody that the secondary market for these tickets, they're through the roof.
Not counting an opening day, when was the last time that Suns fans maybe have been this excited for a regular season Suns game?
Yeah, I mean, it's
because,
like,
of the Suns' chances to win that game? A long time.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right. Before, it's always, okay, Steph Curry's in town tonight, and let's make sure we get to the arena early and watch him shoot. Oh, LeBron's coming back for the first time as a Laker. Wow. Oh, LeBron's making his one trip with Cleveland. Oh, got to be there. Yeah, it's always that. It's never what it is tonight. And that's why tonight, to me, is very, very important. On the surface, it's an intriguing basketball game because the Lakers went more than 2 weeks without a loss. They won seven straight games after their opening night loss before they fell to the Raptors on Sunday night. So, depending how you look at it, they might be a little bit ornery, right? And I don't think you're going to see any load management. The big question is, as Vinny's been telling you, is Anthony Davis, whether or not physically he's able to go. I'm guessing, I think he's going to be. But to me, it's not so much that. The Lakers, and not the Clippers, statistically have the best defense in the NBA right now, which is surprising to me. Okay? So there's that challenge. There's Danny Green being assigned to Devin Booker. Danny Green, an athletic player who's a really good defensive player.
Yes, he is.
But Devin Booker has been putting together a crazy kind of year so far. So you got all that. You got the fact that the Lakers have really struggled to shoot from three-point territory. The Suns are coming off a game where their offense was just firing, and this is just an interesting litmus test between these basketball teams. Then there's the thing of what's going to happen in the crowd. And again, forgive me for always talking about this, but it's part of our experience here and part of who we are. This is a night for Suns fans to reclaim the heart and soul of their own arena.
Well, you're right. And I don't think you need to apologize for bringing it up because, you know, part of the experience on this show is we both have a goal to see this city grow, mature, and become great as a sports market.
Mm-hmm.
tonight's one of those nights where you put a check mark by it.
Yeah.
Okay. This basketball team has done nothing for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest star in the game is coming with this glitzy new team to town. They're off to a really good start. You have to take pride. As a fan, you have to take pride in these moments.
Yeah, you do.
To not only create the atmosphere to help your team be successful. I don't think it's going to be a problem tonight because the energy in that building has already been noticeably different this year.
Well, here's what I would say about that. I look at the Suns when they were rolling under Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni. Nobody questioned the integrity of the home court advantage in Phoenix during that era. It was vibrant. It was really alive. And I remember one of the best games I've ever enjoyed from that kind of ambiance standpoint was that Game 7 egg that Kobe laid for the Lakers in downtown Phoenix. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Yeah. It was beautiful.
Oh, it was.
When he took his ball and went home?
Yes, right. That's exactly right.
I'm not going to shoot anymore.
Right. When he just decided, okay, fine. Phil Jackson wants me to get everybody involved. I'm just going to pass to everybody.
I'll get shots for Kwame Brown.
Mm-hmm. And that just turned into a Phoenix party, and it was like, this is the way it's supposed to be when the Lakers come to town. And ever since, when the Suns have not been good, our motivation for going to the arena has changed. It was really a function of, okay, well, you know, I'm a basketball fan. I don't want to give up my season ticket, so what do I want to do? Do I want to sell them? Do I want to go see this player or that player? Do I want to see, you know, Kevin Durant? Now this is about just laying down a foundation for home court advantage, whatever you want to term it, 5.0, whatever it would be in the iteration of Suns teams that captured this market's imagination for being good in their own right. Yeah. This is where it's got to start.
Yeah.
You're right about the vibe. Now, it's you're
I thought you were going to say home court advantage for the playoffs starts today.
No. But just getting back a home court advantage, how many of our teams actually enjoy a home court advantage? I mean, out of the four major professional sports teams?
Not really.
Suns, in college.
Suns might be top of the list right now.
And the Cardinals have certainly lost something that they once had while they were rolling. The bottom line is you will get your home field advantage if you're a really good team.
Yeah.
Not before, not after.
But people will always talk about Phoenix and rivalries with other cities.
Mm-hmm.
You touched on it. The reason why this one is different, and we had that study, somebody actually quantified it, did the research on it, on the one-sided rivalries, and Phoenix showed up in a lot. And this would show up pretty high probably in the NBA list of one-sided rivalries. But the reason why this one is different between the Suns and Lakers, and neither team's had much to crow about recently, but this is 52 years of this. That's a long time. Suns fans that have been on board since 1968, they've disliked the Los Angeles Lakers since 1968.
Yeah.
It's not like Coyotes Kings, which is 20 years old. It's not like Cardinals Rams, which was, interrupted for 20 years and teams moving all over the place.
Yeah.
It's not like Diamondbacks Dodgers, which has been relatively one-sided and only about 20 years old.
Yeah.
This is a half century in the making. That's why it's always special even when the Lakers are bad. Before LeBron got there and they were a bad young team,
yeah,
there was still a different energy in that building when the Lakers come to town.
Well, it
should be ratcheted up by about 10 tonight.
Well, and there's such a contrast between the respective fortunes of these two franchises. The Suns have been really a hard luck organization at a lot of different stops along the way. The Lakers have been the luckiest franchise in pro sports, where they've just had one impact hallmark center after another gravitate to their franchise.
I want to go there.
Okay, great. It's so tonight, that's there's a lot on the line to me tonight for just a regular season basketball game. You win, you lose, it's really not that big of a deal. I don't think the optics of it are as important maybe as we feel it to be in the moment, but in the moment it feels important. It feels like this is kind of who we have to prove ourselves against as a basketball town, because no other team overtakes our basketball arena the way Lakers fans do.
Also, if they win tonight, you're going to see The Ringer, ESPN.com, all NBA.com, all these articles probably about, are the Suns for real? Should we take them seriously? Are they a surprise contender? This is by far their, you know, they've beaten good teams this year, but this is their biggest profile game.
Well, people, we mentioned it earlier. People are talking about it. The Suns, if you look at some of the power rankings from around major publications, number 12 on ESPN, number 9 on CBS, number 10 on Bleacher Report, 11 on Sports Illustrated, number 5 on NBC Sports.
Yeah. I'll take it a step further. You win tonight, you've got bookend wins against both L.A. teams at home.
Mm-hmm.
You'd beaten the Clippers and the Lakers.
And those were the darling teams of the media after the reconstruction of the offseason.
Right. And you've already got two blowout victories at home, which is something that you never, in the recent history, was always flipped. Mm-hmm. The 25-plus point outcomes, they were always losses in recent memory. Now the Suns have got a couple of those victories, including the last game they played.
My message to the Suns tonight, right? Mark your territory,
right?
Sort of, yeah.
By the way, Kellen Olsen tweeted this out yesterday with a credit to Scott Howard 42 on Twitter. The last time the Lakers and Suns played when both teams were above 500, April 7th, 2012.
Oh, man.
A 20-point win for the Suns that was spearheaded by Shannon Brown, Michael Redd, and Josh Childress.
Wow.
7 years ago, maybe seven, may as well be 7 decades ago. That's how long ago that feels. But that's how long it's been since both teams had a winning record when they met.
Wow.
Yeah, looking forward to tonight. 7 o'clock tip, 6:30 pregame with Al McCoy and Tim Kempton. You can hear it all right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Tuesday.
It's a special night.
Turkey Window Tuesday opens now.
I can't talk over this classic song, can I?
But it's turkey to eat. So good.
Give me a caller number, Bick.
Caller number 11, Vinny.
Caller 11. We're going into the double digits on this Ticket Window Tuesday presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. If you are caller number 11 at 602-260-9870, you will score a pair of tickets to see the Suns host LeBron James and the Lakers tonight. Please be a Suns fan. Oh, and you'll also get a free Thanksgiving turkey thanks to Fry's Food Stores. Again, looking for caller number 11 at 602-260-9870. Good luck.
'm a guy who's scared to run. I mean, I see a guy who's scared of injuries. I don't know. It's almost like, you know, he's a guy who has fallen out of the graces, and he's trying to muster up, like, you know, the old David Johnson, but it's like something's there where it's like it's just a hitch in the protocol. You know, like something in the wiring got rewired and it didn't quite, you know, the lights don't flash exactly how you want, you know. It's like when you put on a dimmer switch on your lights and they're not, and they don't have, and they're not dimmable.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I feel like you're at right now. And David's trying to find his way in this offense. I don't think, you know, once again, we talked about this at the beginning of the season. He doesn't feel comfortable in it.
Max Starks, former offensive lineman for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Super Bowl champion. He joins Doug and Wolf for Maximum Football every week on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Those were his comments this morning. Looks like a guy who's scared to run.
Mm-hmm.
And it's telling. If you look at the running styles of other Cardinals running backs, from what we've seen from Kenyon Drake and what we've seen from Chase Edmonds this year, it's pretty telling. Look at some of the other backs around the league. San Francisco has a whole host of them. Mostert last night running like he's, you know, mad at the world.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Breida running with purpose.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere around the league
you see guys hitting the hole, absorbing contact, dishing out contact.
And by comparison, what you're seeing from David Johnson
is terrible.
It's disappointing. It's hard to watch. And I think the Cardinals have arrived at that. This is hard to watch. He said he was 100% health-wise. You know, what he's saying and what is reality might be two different things. To hear Darren Urban say on our show yesterday, he doesn't look like a guy who's trusting the ankle fully. Is it physical? Is it mental? Is it a combination of both, which that would be the worst possible outcome in all of this for David Johnson's future? But it's come to the time where Cliff Kingsbury made the right call by going with Kenyon Drake for much of that game.
Yeah, listen, and I think that you noted the fact that they both were on the field to start, so there was no conclusions or no assumption you could draw from who started and who didn't. So there was a sign of respect shown to David Johnson there, and I think that everybody around the Cardinals has been very respectful of David Johnson's history and what he's given this team. But let's be honest here. I don't know what we're dealing with this guy, because the optics are far worse. Until last week, the optics were far worse than the numbers. Last week, the numbers were as bad as the optics, where he just couldn't seem to get a positive yard from the running back position. Now, Kenyon Drake didn't do much better statistically, but he looked far better. And like you said, the bigger difference is when you watch other NFL football games, whether you're watching Dalvin Cook or Alvin Kamara or whoever it is, just the way these guys attack and hit the hole and make a cut and get vertical. David Johnson just looks like he is just running to the sideline every single time. And I don't know what's going on with him. I really honestly hope it's still a health issue, because that leaves out hope that the old David Johnson will come back at some point in time. The real scary thing is that he doesn't. And that's where I think the Cardinals are in right now, because the Cardinals are probably as frustrated as fans are, and maybe even more so, because they gave him all that money and they guaranteed so much of it that's going to be on the books next year. It really turned out to be a player-friendly contract at a time when they didn't have to do it at that point in time.
Yeah, I mean, the feeling around football is, okay, he's valuable to what you do. There's always that question that lies underneath it. Do you pay a running back? How expendable are they? Their shelf life for success in this league is so very short.
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth paying any one of them when on the back end of that deal you could get bit financially by
it? Has Lev Bell been worth it?
No.
No.
They almost traded him already.
And I know. And David Johnson's season so far will be a big-time deterrent for all NFL teams in the future when they wrestle. All right, do we pay this guy? He's 25. He's got a few years under his belt. A lot of touches, a lot of carries. Is he going to be the same guy? David Johnson's going to be a cautionary tale against teams committing money again when they don't have to.
Oh, absolutely. Zeke Elliott might be that guy. Lev Bell might be that guy. They all could be in a big group together as that guy.
Yeah.
And the Chargers were the team that dug their heels in and said, no, we're not paying you, Melvin Gordon. Show up or don't show up. And he's finally coming into form a little bit, but they're the team that's probably handled it the right way.
Handled it the right way. And so, and it's a shame, because David Johnson's story was just the exact opposite. This is a guy who was so self-made that he worked as a janitor in college to make money. He had
cleaning up asbestos.
He had a real hard scrabble upbringing, no father presence. His dinners used to be whatever fast food restaurant his mom worked at the time, and she worked at a bunch of them. So so he had a rough, hard scrabble road to the NFL. And he got there, and he made such an instant impact, and then he got paid, and he got married. Well, in order, he got married, had a family, he got paid. It could be a situation where he's gone soft. And in football terms, that's a very derogatory term. But in humanistic terms, look.
It's understandable.
It's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to hear it. I mean, really, it's like we had a caller yesterday give voice to what a lot of people know, that David Johnson's wife has been very vocal at times during David's assortment of injuries.
Oh, and we played that audio from him in 2017.
Right.
Where he told us the same thing.
Which is the point where she has lobbied him to retire, that she's been frantic during the course of injuries. And I know how football fans are. They want to blame her for the demise of David Johnson. Don't do that. As you said, wouldn't it be nice to have somebody who loves you that much? Right? Please, don't get hurt. Quit. We can hold hands forever.
Bring up another Rocky reference.
Right?
Adrian saying, stop the fight.
Right. Right. That's right. So, I mean,
you know, it's not just people who love you to tell you to quit. People all the time who don't like me tell me I should quit radio.
Well, usually that usually happens like Fridays at about 1:41 p.m. Usually. Mm-hmm. And that's when we hit commercial break and we tell Jarrett that. This is not for you.
Right. Right.
David Johnson, obviously, once upon a time, a cornerstone of this franchise. Patrick Peterson certainly fit that description as well. There's questions about Patrick Peterson's availability moving forward. Here was Cliff Kingsbury updating the injury status of Patrick Peterson, who looked like he had a calf injury Sunday against the 49ers.
I think Patrick, he got banged up, but I think he'll be day-to-day and hopefully is able to go this week. If not, we have the bye and would definitely be back the next game.
Yeah, I meant to say Sunday against the Buccaneers, but going into the game against the 49ers. Did you ever think we'd get into a spot where David Johnson and Patrick Peterson would be two of the more stress-inducing Cardinals players?
No.
We're there.
Well, we are there. And what you read from Pro Football Focus last week was even more horrifying, Vinny. The fact that Patrick Peterson was the worst-graded defensive player on the Cardinals and David Johnson the worst-graded offensive player.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Patrick Peterson's game didn't look that bad. It had its moments, particularly on the offsides penalty on the fake field goal.
He was better against the Bucs than he was against the Niners, but that's not saying much.
Yeah. And see, the Cardinals are in a real funky situation with both these guys because they might be mad at Patrick Peterson for the 6-game suspension, but the solution isn't less Patrick Peterson. They're even worse. They're even more vulnerable with him off the field. So they need him, as disappointing as he's been. And then with David Johnson, can you bring the football player back out of him if this is what it is? I don't know. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, especially with a year left on the contract.
Yeah, oof. I know.
Richard Rodriguez was caller number 11 on this Ticket Window Tuesday, brought to you by Arizona Central Credit Union. Congratulations, Richard. You got a pair of tickets to tonight's Suns-Lakers game and a Thanksgiving turkey courtesy of Fry's Food Stores. Your next chance to win on Ticket Window Tuesday coming up at 4:15 with Burns and Gambo. Coming up next, we'll take a look back at the weekend that was. Loser straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
And now it's time to give someone an opportunity to spin the
Wheel of Fortune.
Take it away, Bickley and Murata.
That's right. It's the Wheel of Sports Trips. Our qualifying winner today is Chad Davoli from Phoenix. Chad, you've got 10 minutes to call us at 602-260-9870. If you do, you win an Amazon Echo and get qualified to spin the Wheel of Sports and win one of these amazing getaways to Seattle, L.A., Vegas, or Chicago. If Chad does not call within the 10 minutes, we'll open up the phone lines to qualify somebody else. Once again, Chad Davoli from Phoenix. You have 10 minutes to call, 602-260-9870. Your clock starts now.
Well, lucky qualifier, your 10-minute countdown has begun. Be careful dialing, and thanks for playing the
Wheel of Fortune.
Bickley and Murata, football losers and winners. The losers.
You losers. Start us off, Bick. Who's your first loser of the weekend?
My first loser, Rams head coach Sean McVay. The Super Bowl hangover is in deep. Rams lost to the Steelers 17-12 over the weekend. Their running game, Todd Gurley, it's all gone away. The passing game isn't the same. I couldn't believe this. Cooper Kupp went from having a game where, like, every pass he caught was 50 or more yards to having zero Fantasy Football League points. Not that I'm bitter or anything. But Sean McVay.
You're not going to go Matt Barry on us,
no,
are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay, good.
But Sean McVay, a guy that was considered to be the cutting edge of everything in the NFL. Football's got a funny way of humbling guys like that.
It does. Yeah, I wonder if the Cardinals would still be looking for the next Sean McVay.
Yeah, it's true.
I'll piggyback on yours. My first loser of the weekend is the quarterback in that system, Jared Goff. And this was brought to my attention on Twitter. Football Perspective tweeted this out. Jared Goff, in his last 16 games, has completed 63% of his passes for only 7 yards per attempt, 17 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, just over a an even ratio there.
Yeah.
79.2 passer rating, 3 rushing touchdowns, 16 fumbles, as they point out on their tweet to cap it. He's basically high-volume Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep.
And here's another guy that's locked up for a lot of money for a long time.
Yeah, Jared Goff.
But I guess he's not a running back, so that makes it okay.
That's all right. Okay.
You think they're questioning the Todd Gurley signing?
Yeah, I do. Think about that. I forgot to throw him into the bunch. That's right. Okay, my next loser, Vinny?
Yeah.
Arkansas football.
I made my list a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Arkansas has now, besides trying to get in the market for a big-name head coach going forward, Arkansas has now paid 2 opponents to beef up their win total, $1.5 million to San Jose State and to Western Kentucky. They've lost both games.
Yeesh.
They spent $3 million for those 2 opponents, lost both games, and if that weren't bad enough, their loss Saturday to Western Kentucky came to a quarterback, Ty Story, who transferred from Arkansas. There you go.
Not only that, they're throwing money all over the place because they fired their head coach, Chad Morris, yesterday, too.
Yeah,
so they're going to have to pay him off.
Oh, there you go.
There are rumblings that Gus Malzahn might be interested in the Arkansas job and that Auburn is preparing to look for a coach should he bolt for Fayetteville.
Why would you leave Auburn for Arkansas?
Less pressure.
Yeah.
I guess.
Get out. Yeah, I guess so.
Get out while the getting's good.
Okay.
I don't know. Gus Malzahn's an interesting dude. My next loser, I'm sorry because I like this guy, but the stat line don't lie. Saquon Barkley had a historically bad stat line in a loss to the New York Jets. Barkley, generally considered to be one of the best and most talented running backs in the league.
Yeah.
13 carries, 1 yard. David Johnson's looking at that stat line going, oof, that's rough. I looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Since the merger in 1970, guys who have 13 or more carries and 1 or less yard, Barkley's only 1 of 4.
Yeah.
And it's not exactly a who's who of list you want to be on.
Yeah.
Jonathan Wells of the Texans last did it, 13 carries for 1 yard in 2002. Dexter Bussey of the Detroit Lions, remember him? Probably not. 14 carries for 0 yards in 1978.
Manly.
And former Arizona State Sun Devil, Benny Malone, did it in 1974 for the Dolphins.
Yeah.
14 carries for -3 yards.
Wow.
It's a rough day at the office, huh?
Yeah, it is. My next loser, Major League Baseball. According to Nick Pecoro, the GMs are in the valley right now for general managers meetings and the like, Vinny.
Mm-hmm.
The conversation is dominated by one issue, the state of baseballs. So this is where we're at in Major League Baseball. Every decision that is being made is based on this murky lack of knowledge over whether or not the baseballs we will see next year will be the 2019 postseason baseballs, which flew nowhere, or the 2019 regular season baseballs, in which ridiculous amounts of people hit home runs. Look at that. 129 people with 20 or more home runs. Who? 129?
Hit 20 or more?
Hit 20 or more.
Remember when you were a kid, you flipped over the back of a baseball card, and if the number was 20 or more on the home run column, you're like, this guy could play a little
bit. Oh, yeah. That's exactly right.
There was never 129
of them.
Wow. My next loser, not all, but anybody who felt similarly to this, Alabama football fans,
mm-hmm.
after that loss, a website called Total Pro Sports put together a compilation of fans who actually went to social media to say things like this. I just left Bryant Denny with an awful taste in my mouth. I'm afraid this is an end of an era and an end of my donations. We need to move on from Nick. Hashtag fire Saban. Here's another one.
You gotta be kidding me.
Haven't seen an Alabama team play this bad since 1980 when I went to games with my dad. Saban has got to go. Fire Saban.
You're kidding me.
There's more. I've spent well over $100,000 on Bama in my lifetime, and through 30 years of being diehard Bama fans, I've never seen anything as atrocious as this team. Everyone was right. We were just playing cupcakes. Time for Nick to go. Hashtag fire Saban. There's 20 more. Are you kidding me? You have no idea what it means to be a fan of a college football team that's not elite.
Must have left at halftime.
I cannot believe, after what that man has done for that program, that one loss like that would have people tripping.
Come on, when was the last time he won a big game?
Nah.
I know.
They got blown out last year in the championship game.
That's January. I mean, that...
You're right.
It was 9 months ago.
Wow. Yeah, you know what? Maybe you should fire the guy.
Yeah.
He's lost it, man.
I mean, there were babies born since the last time Alabama won a big football game.
I just watched an Alabama offense that has an incredible quarterback, an incredible tailback, and the best wide receiver core in football. Alabama's never had that before. Alabama ran into a great football team that has been liberated by a great quarterback.
Yep.
There's no shame in that. I hate that. When fan bases get so spoiled that they can't even tip their cap to the proverbial opponent, I'm sorry, that really bothers me.
You got one more, Ben?
I do. My last loser, Vinny, Cliff Kingsbury. Not because he's a loser. I like Cliff. Guy's guy, good dude. But the fact what happened to him on Sunday was so a case of injustice being served cold in the NFL. A guy that had a really good game play calling, went for it on fourth down, outcoached the guy on the other side, a guy that used to be the civic treasure here in Arizona, and then that guy got the last laugh. Rough day for Cliff Kingsbury. Feel bad for you.
Yeah, I mentioned mine earlier. My last loser was ASU's sense of urgency. Down 15 points at the end of the first half, they get the ball back with a minute 22 and two timeouts. Took it into the locker room, and they took their third straight loss. There you go. There's our losers from the weekend that was. We'll take a look at the winners next. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Caller 5-602-260-9870. You'll win the Amazon Echo and get qualified to spin the wheel of sports trips.
Bickley and Murata, football losers and winners. The winners.
Wash off the loser stuff. Let us bask in the winners.
Yeah, okay.
Your first winner, Bick?
Illinois football, Vinny.
What?
Yeah, Illinois football, Lovey Smith. A guy in a program that looked done about a month ago. They beat Wisconsin, rolled Purdue, beat Rutgers, and then took down Michigan State on the road. Then had their kicker nearly have an epic night last night for the 49ers. I don't even know why I folded that McLaughlin guy into, but he used to be an Illinois place kicker.
Yeah, he's not part of this winning.
He's
a recent graduate of Illinois, he didn't experience a whole lot of winning. Hey, good for them.
Good for them.
They beat up on the little pisters of the sore.
Pisters.
Jarrett's on the phone.
Sore.
Mark that
like
for the montage, would you?
Little pisters of the sore. God, I love that.
My first winner, I'm giving it to Jalen Hurts, the quarterback of Oklahoma.
Okay.
Not only for what he does on the field, but remember last year when he was not on the field for Alabama, or the last time they won a championship, when Tua Tagovailoa burst onto the scene and he played, and they won that championship game in overtime. Do you remember how happy Jalen Hurts was and how supportive he was of Tua Tagovailoa? And everybody said, wow, that's the kind of teammate I want to have. Well, now at Oklahoma, he's obviously having a great year. Oklahoma's still in the mix for the college football playoff. There was a video that circulated in Oklahoma. A kid by the name of Raiden Overbay, 12-year-old boy with special needs from UConn. There was a video of him. He's high-functioning autism, diabetes. He's deaf in one ear. He's being bullied by a group of kids. At one point on the video, Raiden writes on his arm in a marker, "I want to kill myself." So it goes viral. Oklahoma hears about it. Jalen Hurts brings Raiden into the locker room, signs the game ball for him, and says, "Hey, anytime you're feeling down, just remember you got a whole squad of guys that's on your side. You got friends in here."
Mm-hmm.
I love stuff like that. Because bullying, it makes you sick when you hear the stories.
Oh, no, it's the absolute worst. So, it really, really is.
Kudos to you, Jalen Hurts, and the Oklahoma football team for making a kid feel special.
Yeah, I like that a lot. All right, my next winner, Vinny, would be football fans in the state of Minnesota. You've got the Vikings that held off the Cowboys, and they seem to be morphing into a real contender. And you got the Golden Gophers, unbeaten at this point in their season, for like the first time in over 100 years. Yeah, there you go.
Over 100. 1904 was the last time they started at 9-0.
Nothing gets by you, man.
Nothing
gets by
you. Because I had their head coach on my winner's list. P.J. Fleck, who started building a name for himself by rebuilding the program at Western Michigan. He arrives in Minnesota. It's been a slow build, but here they are. That was their first really legit eye-opening win over Penn State. And it was pretty convincing as well.
Yeah.
And I heard Duggan Wolf and Paul Calvisi having fun with it, playing a lot of P.J. Fleck cuts from over the weekend.
He was pretty cool in the locker room afterwards.
He's a tad annoying. He's a tad much.
He runs a little hot. Yeah,
but what he does is he gets buy-in on these philosophies, this row the boat philosophy. It's working.
Uh-huh.
I'm kind of rooting a little bit for Minnesota. I think it's a great story. So, yeah, he's on my winner's list as well.
All right, my next winner, the sport of college football, because I think they've rid themselves of Alabama from the college football playoff. And that Nick Saban's got to go.
Not going to recover when he gets
they're
fired.
Never gonna...
Since you did them back-to-back, let me ask for your prediction. Will Minnesota be ahead of Alabama in the rankings
okay,
to come out?
How you don't think so?
No.
How could they not be, you were going to say, right, Dan?
How can they not be is exactly what I was going to say. They just beat Penn State.
Because
Penn State was ranked number 5.
You can instruct a committee to vote on the basis of who is unequivocally the best team. But how do you erase decades worth of bias?
You don't.
Alabama after a loss to LSU over Minnesota. It just happens.
You're very right. But do you agree that the college football playoff really needs a Final Four without Alabama? Don't you kind of think they need some new stuff?
Especially after we already got to see them get killed last year.
Yeah,
That was great.
That was phenomenal.
The other three spots will be filled by new blood like Clemson and Ohio State, Georgia, all those new upstart programs.
It's going to be a Utah versus Minnesota championship game, lowest rated ever.
And everybody will be saying, yeah, good for them, and they won't watch.
That Cinderella Ohio State team's going to sneak in this year.
My next winner is Tennessee offensive lineman Taylor Lewan. Formerly of Chaparral High School, he's been a controversial guy during his career. Tennessee, the Titans, get a big win over the Chiefs. He's pretty critical of his own play. In fact, very critical of his own play. Here he is talking with the media after the game on Sunday.
Before we even start this whole thing, my penalties are a f***ing problem. I am 100% an issue with that.
Part two.
It's not intentional. I do not mean to do it. My intentions are good. I'm just trying to finish. And it's killing the team. And I know that. You guys need to know that. No one needs to call me out or anything because I got it, boys.
And finished with this.
I am completely screwing the team with the amount of penalties I've had in these last, six games? It's crazy. It's horrible. I cannot get penalties. I'm sorry. There's no need to ask about it because I know I'm an absolute liability when it comes to penalties.
Now, you might be saying, why are you putting him on the winner's list? Because he's critiquing his own poor play.
Yeah.
There's two reasons why I'm putting him on the winner's list. A, it's great sound for sports radio.
Uh-huh.
And B, for him to do that after a win over a really, really good team is very smart.
I agree. Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree.
You do that after a loss and people are piling on. Yeah, Taylor Lewan, I got a bunch of penalties, but the Titans won. How big a deal is it? He's a smart dude.
Yeah, and it's just, you're right. I agree. I liked it a lot, and it was great sound. My next winner's the Miami Dolphins. I love the fact that they've traded off a lot of their assets, went to full-on tank mode, and won 2 games in a row. I like it, because tanking in football is the worst, and I like the fact that they have actually kind of shown some self-respect.
Jacoby Brissett should be the MVP of the league.
You're right. You're right.
How bad is Josh Rosen?
He's pretty.
He had more talent on that team when he was playing, and now they're winning without him.
I know.
It's true. My last winner, Juju Smith-Schuster, Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver. By the way, Mike Tomlin might land on this list too. 5-4 with that team.
Yeah.
Pretty good coaching job by Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I take it back because I've been a Mike Tomlin critic most of my life.
Juju Smith-Schuster went up against Jalen Ramsey of the Rams, and Jalen Ramsey likes to talk a lot of stuff. In preparation for the game, he said, he's no Antonio Brown, to which Juju Smith-Schuster said this.
Something like that motivate you before a game like this? joking. He's right, though. I'm not Antonio Brown. I will never be Antonio Brown. I myself, I am Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm not as good as him yet. I think I still have time to proceed to get to his level. But, I mean, we're told two different persons. Like I said, I mean, it was between me and Jalen Ramsey, and, you know, he had a good game.
Then they asked him about Jalen Ramsey, the nature of his trash talk. This was funny.
It was cool, man. He talks a lot. Talks so much. He said so many cuss words I've never heard of. I'm 22 years old. But, I mean, he's a good player, man.
He said so many cuss words I've never heard of, and I'm 22 years old.
Isn't that funny? That's pretty good.
Pretty good attitude to have after
my
game
last
like
winners, Vinny, the Diamondbacks' new uniforms. Now I'll just leave that there.
Yeah?
I like them.
Pared down, simple.
Got rid of those
dark
ugly
gray.
Road gray.
Did you see the Padres' new uniforms, by
no.
the way? They went back to brown. But they went to pinstripes.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't sound like you're not a fan.
I like the brown. Big proponent of that. But I don't know if I like the pinstripes.
Okay.
Like, I haven't made up my mind yet. That's winners and losers. We do it every Tuesday on the show. Guess what? We were able to qualify somebody.
Congratulations to our caller who now gets a shot at spinning the
Wheel of Fortress.
Bickley and Murata, who's that lucky dialer?
Michael Iosu. Congratulations. You win an Amazon Echo. You are qualified now. You get a chance to spin the
nice.
Wheel of Sports Trips.
Wow.
Those great trips that we're offering through the Wheel of Sports Trips. And you'll have another opportunity to listen for your name today at 4:30 to the Wheel of Sports Trips. Every qualifier wins that Amazon Echo and a shot at trips to Cards, Seahawks, Suns, Lakers, ASU Hoops at the Pac-12 tournament, D-backs at Cubs next April. Text spin to 620-620 right now to get entered. Again, your next chance to listen for your name, 4:30 today. Coming up next, once upon a time, Suns fans were just satisfied to see LeBron. Now they want to beat LeBron. That's on tap tonight. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.